As we turn to God's word just now for the message for this morning, let's just bow in prayer once again. Father, our prayer this morning is that your word would be, by the working of your Spirit this morning, that your word would be sharper than a two-edged sword, that it would be dividing soul and spirit this morning. But also, and at the same time, Father, we pray that your word this morning would be sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. We pray that it would be also a joy and a delight in our hearts. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to begin this morning in a similar fashion, a very similar fashion, actually, to the way I began about 3 weeks ago now. And that is to ask you to begin by using your imagination with me. In fact, I'm going to begin by asking you to imagine exactly the same thing that I asked you to imagine 3 weeks ago. And then we're going to extend it just a little bit further. And that is, I would like you and ask you to imagine that you are one of the children of Israel, that you are an Old Testament Israelite, that you are one of the people, one of the children of Israel, who have come out of Egypt in the Exodus. You have met with God at Mount Sinai, and now you are continuing on through the wilderness towards the Promised Land. And as you are on that journey, it comes to the Day of Atonement, the most holy day in the life and calendar and year of Old Testament Israel. And as that most holy day comes upon you, you, as a result, are moving towards the tabernacle and meeting there at the tabernacle with the others amongst the people of God. You move there and you actually move into the outer court of the tabernacle where you are allowed to move. But at that point you stop. You stop because you may go no further. There is in front of you a curtain, and you know very well that you may go no further, that you may not go beyond that curtain. The curtain bars your way. For beyond the curtain is the holy place. And within the holy place, all the more so, is the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies. And as I had you imagine a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I believe it was, even now, as you are looking there and looking at the curtain and imagining what is beyond, knowing what is beyond, you see also there that cloud which is descended upon the tabernacle, meaning and representing the very presence of God there. You know what lies inside, but you have never seen it because you are not allowed to go there. But there is one. There is one and only one on this day in particular who is allowed to enter, and that is the high priest. And imagine that you're standing there, and with that sanctified imagination, as it were, imagine standing there and looking at the curtain, and as you are doing so and imagining what's behind there, right past you walks, bearing the blood, the high priest. And that one does enter there. That one does go beyond the curtain. And as a result, you no longer see him. You hear instead the tinkling of the bells as those bells were attached to the hem of the priestly garment, the garments of the high priest. And he goes in there. You don't see him. You hear the bells as he moves about. And here's where I really want to direct your attention and your imagination further this morning. Imagine as he does so. Imagine as he enters in. Imagine, and here we go, your nervous state. As I say, you don't see him, you hear him moving about. And indeed, amongst the thousands gathered there, there's utter silence, and you can actually hear the tinkling of the bells. You wait, and you wait nervously. and you ask yourself these questions quietly in your head. Will he reemerge? Will he reemerge from the presence of God? Will the sacrifice be accepted? Again, in our text today, in Hebrews chapter 9, and in the introductory verses, in verse 23, in the first part of verse 24, Jesus, our high priest, the author of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus, our high priest, has indeed entered the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, and that he has entered there, the heavenly sanctuary. Verse 23, in the first part of verse 24. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. We are again reminded, as we have periodically, remember, the author of Hebrews tends to spiral around again and again, but at a deeper level each time. And again, he comes back this week, in our text again this week, to the fact that Christ, as our great high priest, has entered in into the heavenly sanctuary, not the earthly one, not the copy, not the one made with hands, but he has entered there as our great high priest. He has entered in, again, as we are reminded here in verse 23, with a better sacrifice, with a sacrifice of himself, with better blood. And as we continue on this morning, and we'll be continuing on in the text, we'll see, and now we arrive at the point for the morning, we'll see that like the high priest of the Old Testament, who there on that Day of Atonement that I had you imagine, not only entered in, but also, as that sacrifice was accepted, he reemerged from the Holy of Holies, from the holy place. That here he goes, folks, even so Christ, even so our great high priest. And thus, here's the point for this morning. I'm going to say it to you now, and we will hopefully see it as I convey it the best that I can. We will hopefully see it emerge out of the text as we continue on in a moment. But here it is right now. With confidence, we eagerly, not nervously, but eagerly, with confidence, we eagerly await Christ, await our high priest. Having entered the heavenly sanctuary, he will again reemerge to complete our salvation. With confidence, we eagerly await Christ, our great high priest, who, having entered the heavenly sanctuary, will once again reemerge to complete our salvation. And so this morning, as we continue on in the text, and move now to verses 24 through 26. As we continue on, we're going to see a couple of things this morning that bring out that point. We're going to see not only, as we've talked about using our imaginations already, the earthly high priest, the copy, the shadow, but we are going to see our great high priest once again entering that heavenly sanctuary. But here we go, folks, also reemerging. Entering for us, re-emerging for us. But first of all, in verses 24 through 26, our high priest enters. And we see, as we look at these verses just now, we see the purpose for which he has entered. Verse 24 and following. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, not to appear in the presence of God, now to appear in the presence of God for us. There's the purpose that Christ has entered into that heavenly sanctuary, and he has done so with this purpose. He has done so for us. for us. Now, how is that the case? How has he done so for us? He has done so for us in this way. First of all, as we consider Christ's ascension back to the heavens, back to the Father's right hand, Christ has ascended back to the right hand of the Father, the place of greatest honor. And in so doing, as he has ascended back to the place of greatest honor, he himself is vindicated in his ascension. In that ascension, he himself is exalted to the highest place. He is vindicated. He himself is exalted. He himself is given all honor and glory through that ascension back to the heavens. But also, he appears there for us. He receives all honor and glory. He is vindicated. He is exalted. But he does so also, we are reminded once again here, for us. And he has done so for us in that he represents us there as our great high priest. In the same way, as we used our imagination to begin this message this morning, and I had you imagine that high priest in Old Testament Israel going in and entering in to the copy, to the earthly sanctuary, to the earthly Holy of Holies. And as he went in there, as a Jew, you were, as a member of the children of Israel, as an Old Testament Israelite, you were imagining yourself being there as such in the tabernacle. You saw him enter in there. And you are fixated on that. You are utterly fixated on that and nervously looking on. Why? Why were you fixated? Why were you nervous? Because you understood the following. You understood that that high priest who entered there was appearing there for you, on your behalf, representing you. And so, we say again, even so our great high priest who has entered into the heavenly sanctuary and appears in the very presence of God does so for us in that he represents us there. And he guarantees by his being accepted there, by his bearing the blood there, by his appearing there, that we one day also, as those who are in him by faith, that we one day also will appear in the very presence of God also. In that way, he has done so. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, he has done so for us. That is the purpose for his entry into the Holy of Holies, the heavenly sanctuary. But how can that be? How can that be that he guarantees our acceptance there, that we will be guaranteed to be also appearing in the presence of God? Well, we look further at verses 24 through 26, and we see not only the purpose, but the means by which that takes place, that guarantees that purpose will be fulfilled. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He appears there for us, verse 24. He appears there for us in that, verse 26. He appears there to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, by the better sacrifice, by the better blood, by the sacrifice of himself, he puts away sin. And as we also consider verses 24 through 26, and on even into verses 27 and 28, the rest of our text, there is a repeated word that I hope you picked up on. And if not, I'll remind you of it now. Once for all. And for that reason, we know it is indeed better blood. We know it is indeed a better sacrifice with which he enters there. We know indeed that he has put away sin through that sacrifice because it needed to be done only once for all. Again, verse 26, verse 27, verse 28, once. And just in case you miss it, he includes the opposite, the flip side of that. He does not do it often. He makes sure you get the point, once. That the Old Testament high priest offered sacrifices every year on the Day of Atonement. Why every year? Because those sacrifices failed to ultimately put away sin. And they repeated year after year to point ahead to this sacrifice, to this better sacrifice, to this better blood that would come. And indeed, in an interesting parenthetical insertion here in verse 25, in the beginning of verse 26, the author of Hebrews not only compares Christ in this better sacrifice once, but he compares him, not only compares him to the high priest in the Old Testament, but then goes on to imagine, in a very hypothetical situation, imagine that if he did have to do this every year, if the blood and the sacrifice failed to put away sin, he then would have had to suffer, verse 26, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We know that it is better blood. We know that indeed he will put away, has put away sin by his entry there into the heavenly sanctuary. And therefore we understand that that sacrifice has not failed, and therefore we also, even as the purpose of his entry is, we also will stand in the very presence of God. Notice one other thing as a lead into the final point this morning in verses 27 and 28. But before we get there, notice one final thing from the very verses that I read, the words that I read moments ago in verses 24 through 26, and specifically verse 26. But now once, we've talked about that, but now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared. Does that sound strange to the ear? At the end of the ages, he has. Past tense, at the end of the ages, offered this sacrifice and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. How can that be? How is it that the author clearly here is looking back on Christ appearing with the blood in the heavenly sanctuary? And he refers to that past as him doing so at the end of the ages. How is that so? Here is how it's so. Because with Christ's death, with his resurrection, with his ascension back to the heavens, to the right hand of the Father, with his entry into that heavenly sanctuary, bearing the blood as it were, with his entry there through that better sacrifice, with his appearing for us in the very presence of God, the messianic age has been already inaugurated. The messianic age has begun with that. It has begun, but it has not come in its fullness yet. It has come, it has arrived, but it has not arrived in its fullness. And so then we ask the question, when will it arrive in its fullness? And now we come to the last point. When will it come in its fullness? It will come in its fullness when our high priest, like the high priest of the Old Testament, reemerges out of the heavenly sanctuary and will appear a second time. When our high priest reemerges, then, with the consummation of all things, the messianic age will come in its fullness. And for that, we move, as I say, to the final point in verses 27 and 28 this morning. The high priest appears again. Verses 27 and 28. But here, actually, and we will be moving into this and making the point that I've already made as we transition into that, but as we do now look at verses 27 and 28, what the author first offers and what we need to first consider is, in verse 27, a comparison to the death of man, to our death, to you and I, as we die, should our high priest tarry, should our Savior tarry. He begins with a comparison to man's death in verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, just in case you've missed it, but after this, the judgment. What is he talking about here? Well, ultimately, what he is saying here is once again emphasizing, as I did in that very dramatic fashion seconds ago, he's emphasizing again that Christ has died once. And in that one death, that one sacrifice, he was able to put away sin. And so he is drawing a comparison here, a comparison to you and I, who likewise, it is appointed for us to die once. And he's making that point. And we will make that point once again, as he does once again, in just a moment. But I can't imagine too many preachers who move through verse 27 without hitting the pause button. And therefore, I shall hit the pause button also this morning. I cannot move through verse 27. I cannot resist commenting further on verse 27. That even though it speaks primarily of Christ dying once to put away sin, by this comparison to man, I must also draw from this the important truth that we all must hear. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. How can I not comment on that? That for each one of us, there is appointed by God, there is appointed a time. There has been appointed a time. God is not sitting there trying to figure it out, and he says, oh, okay, now. God, in eternity past, for God's omniscience extends to eternity past. God never learns things other than what he has known from eternity past. God never plans things that he hasn't already planned in eternity past. God is never lacking in knowledge. God is never figuring it out as he goes along. But rather, in eternity past, there has been appointed for each one of us a moment of death. Some of us, perhaps in more advanced years, some of us perhaps with health challenges, are less in need of the reminder of that reality. But that reality is for each one of us, whatever age we are, whatever our health. That reality, that truth, that it is appointed, should our Lord, should our high priest tarry, as we will consider in just a moment. But until he comes, should he tarry, it is appointed for each one of us to die once, and then judgment. And that truth, that reality, is one that needs to profoundly shape every moment of our lives. But as I say, the author here is really not, first and foremost at least, making that point, but rather he is making the point once again, even so Christ, verse 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. That Christ died once, he offered himself once in that sacrifice once for all. Now, I also want to say that while this is a comparison, there's also a difference here, isn't it? Because while it is appointed for man once to die, and then judgment. For Christ the man, he also dies, but for him, Christ dies once, and not judgment, but vindication. And likewise, for each one of us who die in him. But now we arrive at the point for this morning, the point that I mentioned at the beginning of the message, and we go to now, as the text has developed it, and we come again to this idea, or we come now to this idea, that the high priest, having entered, now reemerges, and we see this in verse 28, the second part of it. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Again, in our imaginings at the beginning of my message, the high priest in the Old Testament entered into the Holy of Holies and appeared there in the Holy of Holies. And each year he did so. And each year as he did so, and as we remember that introduction, all of Israel, including yourself in your imagination, waited nervously for him there to reemerge, to appear a second time outside the Holy of Holies. And so now, as we move to conclusion and move to the point, even so Christ has appeared in the heavenly sanctuary in order to put away sin, that we might also appear there in the presence of God. But also, even so, Christ, our high priest, will one day reemerge from that heavenly sanctuary, just as it was done in the copy, in the earthly sanctuary. Even so, our high priest will reemerge. He will appear a second time, literally be seen, the text would say, literally be seen a second time. And he will do so not to deal with sin, for he has already done that in his first entry into, by his death, by his resurrection, by his entry into the sanctuary. He has dealt with sin. So he appears again, he is seen again, not to deal with sin, but rather for salvation. And this dealing with sin is confirmed as he does reemerge from that heavenly sanctuary. So two thoughts about this, very much in conclusion now. Two thoughts in conclusion regarding this reappearing. First of all, notice from verse 28, the second part of it, notice that he does this for those who eagerly wait for him. Who eagerly wait for him. This is believers, clearly, he is speaking of. We are the ones. If you are trusting in Christ for salvation, then you are waiting eagerly for his return. We wait eagerly. We wait, as Romans chapter 8 says, we ourselves groan within ourselves. We ourselves groan within ourselves as we eagerly are waiting, Romans 8 says, and Paul says there. But unlike the waiting of the Old Testament Israelite, we are not waiting nervously chewing our fingernails. We are not waiting nervously in the outer court, but rather we are waiting with expectancy, with confidence, with joy. We are eagerly waiting with joyful expectation and assurance and confidence. What did I say at the beginning? Here we go again. With confidence, we eagerly await Christ our high priest, who, having entered the heavenly sanctuary, will reemerge to complete our salvation. To complete our salvation. And that leads me to the second and final thought. For salvation. That is indeed what is said in verse 28. For salvation. He will appear a second time for that. He comes again. Christ's return, Christ's second coming. His reemergence, as we are seeing it this morning, his reemergence from the heavenly sanctuary. But just in case you're missing it, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the second coming of Christ. He reemerges again from the heavenly sanctuary. He returns to this world visibly. And we see him. And he appears again, reemerges for salvation, as our text says. But you say, you might say, and you might be thinking here, wait a minute. How is it that he's appearing for salvation for believers? I thought as a believer I was already saved. Well, you are. If you're a believer, if you're one trusting in Christ. If you're one who's trusting in Christ, you have been saved. But you are also being saved. And ultimately, as the high priest reemerges, you will be saved. For as he emerges, comes the completion of your salvation. With confidence, we eagerly, not nervously, but eagerly, we eagerly await Christ, our great high priest, who, having entered the heavenly sanctuary, will reemerge to complete our salvation. Allow me to close with these words, which we're going to sing, and you are going to sing in just a few seconds from now. When on that day the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain, is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall e'er his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. He will appear a second time. He will appear a second time for salvation. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we look for our high priest. We look for our Savior. We look for his return. We look for him to reemerge from the heavenly sanctuary. We look for his appearing a second time for salvation. Father, we look for that day. We long for that day. We look for it with expectancy. We look for it with confidence. We look for it with confidence, for your word has declared that it will be. We look for it with confidence because we know that the sacrifice has been accepted. We look for it eagerly, Father, for that is our great hope. That is our great hope, Father, and we look for it with eagerness. And we pray, therefore, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.